Hey, it's Whoopi Goldberg, and as The View celebrates its 25th season, we're continuing our special podcast series. Today, I talk to my friend and co-host, Joy Behar. For 23 seasons, Joy has been making us laugh since The View premiered in 1997.
The male rhino has 30 days of foreplay.
Yes.
So that's my kind of animal.
She's the longest-running host in View history and brings a mix of her comedy and strong political opinions to the table every day.
It took the Republicans, 5 minutes to get rid of Nixon. This has taken the Republican Party 4 years and a violent outbreak to come to their senses.
I, of course, joined the show in 2007 as moderator and have been at the helm of the table ever since.
Welcome to The View! Welcome to The View! Welcome to The View!
Yeah, that was me. So Joy and I talk about why we each joined the show, why we will never regret walking off the set during a Bill O'Reilly interview, and, never mind. You'll figure it out. Take a listen. Here's our conversation. So Joy, before we talk about your time at The View, why are you sucking on a fudgicle right now?
I don't know. I found these yogurt pops. And I have the urge for them. I want them.
Are you pregnant?
You never know,
Well, listen. When Barbara Walters invited you to become part of the show, if you can, what was your thought process? No, I shouldn't do this because I should be out on the road, or this is crazy, or this could be interesting. What did you think when she invited you?
I was sort of on the brink of getting a sitcom at the time. I mean, it was not settled, but it was in the air. I was at one of those parts of my career. And then this came in, and I took this job instead, because even though it doesn't pay anywhere near what a sitcom would have paid me.
No. Still.
But I took it. And I took it because of two reasons. It was Barbara. And I figured it would not be stupid, I didn't want to be on a dumb talk show. And it was in New York. Those were my two reasons. Yeah. I really didn't want to work in Los Angeles in a sitcom, in anything, really. I would go there and, was in a sitcom there. I was in something called Baby Boom. And I woke up crying every morning. I just would cry. I'd wake up and start crying. Why am I here? And so that's why. How about you?
Well, Barbara asked me if I would be interested. I forget where she saw me, but she saw me. Oh, maybe she came to do my radio show. And she was like, we are thinking maybe of adding another person. That's how she put it. Would you ever be interested in that? And I said, I've been blackballed everywhere, and I don't know if you want to, if you really want to do that, because I would not want to bring trouble down on you. And she said, no, come to the house for dinner. Do you remember the dinner? And I went to dinner at Barbara's house, and Joy leaned over, and Rosie O'Donnell, who else was there? Oh, my God.
There was one other person.
It'll come back to me. But she said, we're going to make our decision. And I said, okay. And then she called and said, we chose Rosie. And it was like, okay, cool.
That dinner.
Yeah, that
that's
dinner.
Before you, that was a year before you came on, right?
Yeah, that's real.
Well, oh, yeah.
She had us both at the dinner.
She already decided. And I thought she decided on Rosie already at that point.
No. But you said to me, I wish it to be you. I said, I wish it to be me, too. And then, she went with Rosie. And then a year later, she called and said, we're making a change. Are you still interested? And I said, yeah. Again, I'm still on people's poop list. Do you? She said, it not going to be a problem.
Good morning. I'm Whoopi Goldberg.
What a nice start.
And welcome to The View.
The View.
Yes,
yes, yes. It's so exciting.
Our new show, our new set.
Yeah, look at this.
You just look like edible right now against this beautiful.
So that was what happened.
I remember. I really did want you on the show. Yeah. I remember pushing if I could. You know, I don't have 100% influence on this show, as you might have noticed.
No.
But I do have some influence, which I hope going forward in the next incarnation that we both have influence on as to who will come on the show to replace Meghan McCain.
Well, people should know that this show really is an ensemble. Yeah. You have to, you know, the people, regardless of what their politics are, as people, you have to be able to connect. You have to be able to know that there's nothing personal here. No one insults anyone personally. Nobody goes and says, you know, I'm going to do this. Or no. You know, you have to be respectful. We're respectful of each other. And that, in part, is how I was taught to be on The View. So you don't have to agree with someone, but you may not be disrespectful.
Well, you know, when you're with any of your girlfriends, or if you're at a dinner party or something, you can have a conversation without being, you know, nasty and disrespectful. That's the basis of it's sort of a, you know, camaraderie, I think is the word that I like to use, that you have a certain camaraderie with each other. You know, we don't have to love each other. Many times we do.
Right.
You and I love each other. I love you. You love me. I love the rest of the girls. But
forever,
you know, I mean, I've loved some of them more than others. Let's put it that way.
Right. But that's life. And that's the great thing about the show is that, you know, people do have different opinions. People do say and feel how they are. And for the most part, everyone is listening, you know. We don't have to agree, and it's not part of our job to agree. Our job is to make sure that people understand that these kinds of conversations can be had without it turning bad. And we've had a lot of different people on the show.
Oh, my God.
You
so
know,
many.
And you know, a whole bunch. You know, and there are a lot of people that, you know, like I love Nicole Wallace. She's great to talk to. Politically, you know, we were not in the same place. But in terms of just being great and fun human beings, hands down, you know, she was great.
I felt that way about Meredith Vieira, too. You know,
I want to talk to you. I want to ask you about the host you first worked with.
I worked with Star Jones, Meredith Vieira, and Debbie Matenopoulos and Barbara Walters. But and I was pretty friendly with Barbara, even though, you know, she was Barbara. But I was at her house for dinner many times. She invited me in the Hamptons. It was like, you know, we had a friendship of some sort, you know. And but Meredith and I actually clicked. We actually had, you know, fun together. And so you do that once in a while. You know, it's like anything else, you know. But I was going to say about the hot topics, which we, I don't know, you sort of alluded to it about what we talk about and how. I always think that the hot topics should be either debatable or relatable. That's my rule all the time. And I don't know that we accomplish it every single time, but we try. That seems to be what we're aspiring to. And to talk in a as you say, in a respectful manner, but be debated, to debate each other.
Right. What does it have to do to people? What does it have to spring in the co-house? What does it have to move?
Well, with me, I like to have, I like a topic where I have a strong feeling about it. That's, you know, I mean, like today, I don't have a strong feeling about Britney Spears' conservatorship. I don't even really understand what it is.
Right.
I mean, I tried. Right. They told me what it was. It sounded crazy to me that somebody would have such control over your life at the age of 39 years old. Like I pointed out, no one has control over Eric Trump, and he needs a conservatorship. Right. And this girl, 39 years old, and they're still telling her what to do. I mean, if she's crazy, then they should have dealt with that. If she's not crazy, then she's an adult, you know?
Right.
So I'm thinking to myself, what am I supposed to say about this today? You know, so that's what happens in my mind when they tell me these topics.
But you were kind of profound
I
about
was.
It. You know? Yeah, you were.
I was profound.
You do that quite often.
I don't think so.
Yes, you were profound. Well, let me tell you why. Because the fact of the matter is, yes, she's 39 and probably doesn't need a babysitter. Right. You know? There are other people who should be in the hands of people.
Exactly.
Maybe. Yes, and that's kind of what you said. And I thought, you know what? It's so true. And for women especially, this kind of ability that the grown person has over you
is
ridiculous.
It just sounds crazy.
What do you think? Has, you know, Trump was a frequent guest on the show before all of the craziness.
Sort of an interesting thing. A strange thing has happened over the last couple of years called Twitter. And I have this account with millions of people.
Right.
So I have this account, and I've got all these. And I used to say I want to own a newspaper. This is better.
Do you follow us
right.
on Twitter?
I follow you.
What did you find? How did you find him? Did you find him to be the same person, or did he sort of change when he became president?
Well,
did he believe some of the same things?
I went back with him to when I was a Catch a Rising Star, and my manager was working with him for something. And he'd come into the club. I have a picture of him and Marla, and he's got that smirk on his face that you just want to smack it off of him, you know? And then I went to his wedding because of this connection to my manager. And I always tell the story that I got up to dance, and when I came back, all the film had been taken out of my camera. You know, it was like the KGB was on the premises, you know?
Right.
And they were not allowed to
take
any pictures.
Did you film him doing something?
What?
I said, did you film him doing something that you didn't know you were filming?
O.J. Simpson was there. There were a lot of celebrities there. And I was just taking their random shots. And the film was taken. This is a long time ago. We still had film. And they took it right out of my camera. And then when he came on the show, I always considered him sort of like a sort of a New York character who has a lot of money and loves himself. You know, that's what I saw.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I never, ever thought of him as that he would ever become the destructive force that he has become. I mean, it is just amazing how much damage this man has done to this country.
Do you think he's aware of it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do you think he has gotten to all the people he's tried to get to? I think he does things in retaliation for people.
Yeah.
And so I wonder, do you think he's gotten all the people, or you think he's trying to come back for more?
Oh, yeah, he's got a list. He's very vindictive personality. Hmm. Narcissistic disorder, vindictiveness, a little bit paranoid.
Right.
He's got a lot of stuff going on there that's not normal and healthy.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think he would, anybody who turns on him, I think he would turn on his own children if they were not completely, fawning over him and agreeing with everything.
Right. What about Bill O'Reilly?
Well, you know, he's gone. You know, that day that we walked out.
Yeah.
I treasure that day. I don't know about you. Do you?
Well, I do because, you know, when people say, but why did you do it? I said, did you not hear what he was saying? I couldn't sit there. I couldn't sit there.
70 families died.
What are you
talking about?
Muslims killed us on 9/11.
No!
Right? Oh, my God! That is such...
Wait a minute. Muslims didn't kill us on 9/11? Is that what you're saying?
Extremists.
What religion were they in?
What religion was Mr. McVeigh? Mr. McVeigh was an extremist as well, and he killed people.
70% of the country.
I don't want to sit here. I don't want to sit here.
Go.
I don't. I'm outraged by that statement.
You're outraged about Muslims killed us on 9/11.
You know, you're basically wiping every Muslim with the same brush. Like you don't, like they're one body. Like they're not thousands of different people. And it's very much what, you know, folks have done with people of color and folks have done with the Italians. They've done it with the Irish. They've done it, you know, with the different. You know, they paint you with the same brush, and then that's who you become. And when you look back over American history, you see how people treated the Irish. You see that the Italians were one of the, maybe the first, one of the first groups in our nation that had large hangings done by, you know, where they just hung
people. There were lynchings of Italians back they in, were in, lynchings, I think in New Orleans, places like that, yeah.
Yeah, and you think to yourself, what are you talking about? Say, yeah, do your history. See, this is why history is so important.
There does, yeah.
Just well, the, listen,
In the case of Bill O'Reilly, I mean, the Muslim people were really, you know, in a precarious position at that time because of 9/11, you know, and so, you know, I felt like, people say to me, what made you get up? I said, I can't even explain it. It was like a poltergeist in my behind. I just, right out of the chair.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to argue with this idiot. You know, I'm not going to argue with someone just... who makes the stupidest statement I heard all day, that all Muslims are terrorists. What?
Yeah.
So that's why I got up. And then you got up. And we just said, that's it. And, you know, Barbara did not enjoy that. She said to me, you should have sat
there and
you should have argued it. And I said, well, we didn't. And then the PR came in and she loved it. We got a lot of publicity.
Yeah, we did. But, it, you know, and when she said, you know, that you didn't handle that correctly, I said, what was getting ready to come out of my mouth would have been detrimental.
Been yeah.
To the show and to me, because it was, you know, I said a lot of things on this show and a lot of things that pissed people off.
Me too.
You know, but that was wrong. That was wrong. That's like saying all Jews
have money, cheap,
have money. All white people are there. It's when you paint everyone with the same brush.
Well, the same type of people.
That it is hard
Bill
for
O'Reilly's
me.
Of the world don't like it if you say, well, white people are racist.
No, apparently
so why,
not.
Why would anybody be okay with all Muslims are terrorists? No, we're not.
I have no answer for that. Was Barack Obama the first president that you met on the show?
I think we had Jimmy Carter on once before. I think that was, and then Obama was the first sitting president who was on a daytime show. That's a big deal, apparently. I didn't even know that.
This is a historic day for The View. We are honored to welcome the 44th president of the United States, Barack Obama. You've gone through a little bit of a beating the last month. Do you really think that being on the show with a bunch of women, five women, who never shut up is going to be calming?
That is the... Look, I was trying to find a show that Michelle actually watched. And so I thought that this is it, right here.
You know, it's funny about him and Michelle. When they first came on together, I thought these... That was before he was president. And I said, these two people are completely sane. There is nothing insane about them. You know, like, that was my impression.
Yeah,
they are like normal people. I could have dinner with them like that. You know, and we would have a wonderful conversation. Sometimes you meet politicians and you say, cuckoo. But, you know, these people, can't tell you. And we were so happy when he won. I just love him. I have his picture.
Yeah.
I called him one day when he came with Michelle. I called my daughter and I said, get down here with the baby. And get this picture so that Luca has something to really show and tell.
Yeah.
And we have the picture.
I did the same thing.
It was great.
I did the same thing. I made my brother come. Yeah. Made my brother come. Because, you know, there's some things that you want to mark that occasion, you know. We have both become close to a lot of the former hosts. But how do you navigate friendships when things aren't going as well? When you're at odds with someone you like.
On the panel?
Is it different?
On the panel?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, you do your job. You know, you're professional. You try to do the best you can. I've lost my temper a few times.
Me too.
I know. And you don't like it when you lose your temper, I don't think.
No.
I know.
I don't.
Yeah.
You know, I don't, because there is a side of me that is quite demonic. And when I feel that here, I know that I have to stop. Whatever it is, I have to stop, because it will destroy everything. It's like Godzilla. It's like I open my mouth and Godzilla in its entirety comes out of my mouth and destroys everything. So I try to be careful.
This is Sunny Hostin. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree that Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every single day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/view. Just go to Indeed.com/view right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/view. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Shopify. Ready to make the smartest choice for your business? Say hello to Shopify, the global commerce platform that makes selling a breeze. Whether you're starting your online shop, opening your first physical store, or hitting a million orders, Shopify is your growth partner. Sell everywhere with Shopify's all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system. Turn browsers into buyers with Shopify's best converting checkout, 36% better than other platforms. Effortlessly sell more with Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Did you know Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and supports global brands like Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen? Join millions of successful entrepreneurs across 175 countries backed by Shopify's extensive support and help resources. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Start your success story today. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/view. Put it all in lowercase. Go to shopify.com/view now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/view.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Let me ask you this, because it's a question people ask me quite often. How do you feel about the people that will yell at your show, you know, I don't like you? Or people who say stupid stuff to you when you're walking, you know, past them. Yeah, what does that do to your soul?
I don't enjoy that. I don't mind if you don't like me. Just keep it to yourself. I may not like you. I didn't tell you I didn't like you. You know, I mean, just keep it quiet.
Right.
You know, people who are really masochistic will be trolling Twitter all the time. Because if you go on Twitter or one of these social media platforms, there are people, anonymous people, saying anything they want about you. So, you know, we have had to develop a tough skin, all of us on The View, especially within this social media period.
Do you read a lot of your social media?
No, I don't.
Stuff?
I don't. I don't follow people that are, I don't really like or disagree with. I don't follow Jim Jordan, for example. I don't follow that. I follow people that I think are very intelligent and are on the right track.
Right.
You know, but once in a while, one of my favorite, I'm sure you do too, if you ever do it.
Right.
Somebody just hates you. Who hates me, calls me names, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't, you know, I don't look at it. I don't read it. Yeah. Because I've come to understand for myself, they don't know me. Why do I care
That's
what
true.
They think? Yeah. And so I don't, but there is one person I follow, and it's this person who's called God.
God.
And God has some funny stuff to say. And it makes me, it makes me laugh and it makes me happy. And
is he on Facebook? Where is he?
He's on Twitter.
Oh, really?
He's
I'll
on
have
Twitter,
to check
yeah.
Him out.
Yeah,
is
dude.
It a guy?
It's, I mean, I don't know who it is, but the picture, it looks like, of course, the God that everybody thinks of. But it's he, I find him. Is it you, Steve?
No.
Is it you, Steve, playing on?
Here's a question I have here. Do you think that this format that we've been in the pandemic has hit the ceiling?
Not for me.
I know you like to be home.
I don't
so
mind
do I.
it. Yeah.
But the format,
you know.
I don't like the format.
The format, if we could, you know, the question I have is how come at 7 to 8:30, everybody's thing works well. Ginger Z is in the bottom of, you know, Krakatoa, east of, you know, Java. And you can hear her perfectly. She's in the same time period. We're all here and everything.
Delay.
But us, we got a 20-year delay. It's like, listen.
Well, the technology is annoying. But in addition to that, it's not a conversation.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, so you say, so Joy, what about blah, blah, blah? And then I do da-da-da-da-da-da.
Right.
Okay, Sunny, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It's too, I don't like it. I mean, we're supposed to be having conversation. I like to respond to something you might say or vice versa.
Well, this is my bitch about it, is that one of the reasons we don't do that is because folks don't take a breath. And I'm guilty of it. We're all guilty of it, but maybe some more than others. Mm-hmm. So it's become that because it's the only way I think they felt comfortable with me stopping stuff.
Well, to that point, I worry a little bit about who's going to replace the Republican on the panel because all of the women out there who are Republican, who have been in the public eye, do not take a breath. That's what I notice. Kellyanne Conway has never seen a period or a comma that she likes. Kaylee, whatever her name is.
You know.
Also.
Apparently she was on the show, Kaylee McEnany.
Yeah.
When? I don't remember this chick on the show ever.
I don't remember her there either. I never remember Sarah Huckabee.
She was there. Yes, but apparently Kaylee McEnany was a co-host
a couple of times. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I guess. I don't remember.
I don't remember her,
but you think I would remember
her,
the name.
Know, when she was the press person and she was she lied. I don't like that. And they don't take a breath. It, you know, that's the part that I do not like.
Well, we're going to be in the studio. I mean, September, we're in the studio.
I know, but it's hard to stop people when they're on that kind of a tear.
Well, I don't think it'll be as tough as it's been in the past.
I hope you're right.
How do you... tell me about the experience. What's the experience been like for
Which
you?
Which one?
Because you...
The
this
pandemic.
One, this, all of this, this pandemic experience.
Well... I'm in a house and as opposed to an apartment, and I've gotten used to a big, you know, a house. I like that. So that was interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, every time there's a change, you learn something. You know, when I was sacked a few years ago, remember?
Vaguely. What happened?
Suddenly, I was told that they were not, I was gone. And I thought, first I was like, thank you. I'm sick of this place. You know, I really had had it
right
at that time. And but then I found that when I was out of work for a couple of years or two or three years,
right,
I created a solo show. I started writing a play. I mean, what happens is, right, you know, one door closes, another one either opens or smacks you right in the face. But for right. me, it was like, hey, this opens up something else to me. So with mm-hmm. the pandemic, you learn something about yourself. You learn that you right. could be not in New York City, for example, for long periods of time. Yeah. And it's not going to be a tragedy.
That's right.
You know? Yeah. And my kids are nearby, and I like seeing them right. all the time, you know?
Right.
And Steve and I get along when we see each other every single day, all right. day long. And yeah. I think that those yeah. are things that I'm learning. You? How about you?
I have a great time because for me, it reminds me how lucky we are or how lucky I am. And the idea of not having to get into traffic makes me more interested in working.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I don't mind it because it allows me to just relax. Mm-hmm. You know, when we go back, I'm going to have to get dressed yeah. again.
You're going to have to get dressed have to and figure sit in it traffic. Out. Maybe you need
yeah,
to rent an apartment nearby.
Oh, God, no.
Didn't you do
that
once?
I need a jet ski.
And yes. it didn't work out.
And I was still late. I was still late because yeah. I just, you know. But I need a jet ski from where I am. It's only an hour yeah. across. That you know, except it might be a bitch when it's cold. Pardon my language, cut it out. Any regrets?
Any regrets about the job?
Yeah. Yeah.
No. Well, regrets.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I regret that I didn't do something else. For example,
mm-hmm.
well, there was a time when I could have left the show because certain person who doesn't work here anymore wanted me to pick up Rosie O'Donnell's show when she quit
mm-hmm.
and do that mm-hmm. show. And I didn't jump at that. And I'm sort of sorry I didn't.
Right.
Because that would have been a different experience. It would have been my own show. I might have
yes.
fallen flat on my face.
Yes.
But it would have been interesting to try that. I look
right.
back on, you know, you never regret what you did, but more what you didn't do, I think.
Well, I think it works both ways. Sometimes there are things that I've done and I think I shouldn't have done that. That wasn't the best
yeah.
thing for me. But sometimes you don't know until you know.
That's true.
You know, you don't know until you
well,
know.
Well, you know, we're in showbiz and showbiz is a risk business. You know?
Yeah. You know.
And the idea of having a steady job is a very attractive thing in this business. There's no,
yes,
you know,
is.
I mean,
yes, it
on
is.
On the other hand, being a freelancer is a little more exciting because you don't know what's coming. What could be next? What's the next thing, you know? So it has its
yeah,
pros and cons.
Could be.
But in general, I think I'd
yes,
like
it
the
does.
Job. In general.
I think
yeah.
you have. You look
not
like
all
you
the
have,
time,
and you look
and not
like
100%.
No, well, no.
For the
that
most
would,
part. Because if I enjoyed it all the time, then I wouldn't have been happy when they fired me.
No, you wouldn't. What do you remember about Barbara Walters?
God. You know, remember we used to tease her and say, you know, how come you would get the interview instead of Diane Sawyer?
Right.
And she said, because I never right. went to the bathroom. That was the secret. She was a camel. The woman was a
yes.
camel. She never peed.
Yes, she was.
That was her secret.
Do you remember her talking about audition?
Oh my God.
The book?
When you read this book called Audition.
Audition.
Yes. I bet
audition.
You're already reading it.
You will read
if
about...
you're not sure what's going on, we're talking about Audition by Barbara Walters.
Yeah. Next week, I'm not going to be on. They don't have to talk about it every day because I'm going on tour with Audition. But anyway.
We used to sing that song for the book.
I know. She plugs. I never met anybody who could plug her next gig like her.
Yeah.
Never. One of her great talents was as a publicist for herself
yeah.
on the show. She could publicize 2020, 2020, 2020, 2020, you know? But, you know,
yeah.
you know, when we look back on her, I think that her life was, you know, difficult in many ways. She had a few husbands. Yeah. She couldn't really stay married with this career. It was hard.
Yeah.
She had a kid.
Yeah.
She is an amazing survivor. You know, the way she survived in this industry, she was up against some of the worst misogyny in the history of television.
Yeah. And, the thing I remember about Barbara is that it fascinated her to meet other women like her. Mm. Because I don't think it's one of the things I realized. Barbara was very, very intrigued by how you did it. How were you able to do that? You know, how, and I said, you know, I left my kid and I went and had a career. And she said, and did people say things to you about it? I said, yeah. But the kid eventually understood, you know, so it was okay. And it was not easy. I can't imagine it was easy when she started. I can't even imagine what they said to her, the things that they said to her. And if someone said it to me, you know, you'd pop them right in the head. That's why I could never be. So what did you say? Pow! You know?
Yeah.
Get this angry black woman out of the studio. Yeah. You know, I remember her talking about Richard Pryor. Do you remember how much she loved Richard Pryor?
She loved Richard Pryor when she interviewed him.
Yes. I won't tell that story, but she loved the folks she interviewed. Yeah. And I always wondered how she felt about watching someone else do the interviews that she used to do, particularly on the Oscar weekends. And, you know, it was always her special. Right.
Remember those specials?
Remember?
But the business changed where there's so many interviews of celebrities now that it wasn't special anymore. But in her day, it was.
Yeah.
I mean, people forget that she interviewed Fidel Castro, that she interviewed the Shah of Iran. If she were around now, she'd be interviewing Putin and Ahmadinejad.
Yeah.
And whoever else is in charge over in Iran. I'm not sure who it is right now, but... You know, and all these, and Bolsonaro, and she'd say to Bolsonaro, why are you destroying the rainforest? You know?
Yeah.
She was good at that.
Yeah. She was, she would say anything to Jean. She didn't care. This, I hope someone will make a great documentary about
her. I'm sure they will.
You know.
I'm sure they will. So what are you doing tonight?
Tonight, the entire family is
in. Yes, I saw Allie. Alex was there today, yeah.
Yeah, they went jet skiing in the Hudson today, which was really amazing. And I think somebody's cooking and we'll sit around and laugh. But I will have a very good night, which is the same thing I wish for
Thank you,
my friend.
Well, it's Steve's birthday, so I'm going to take him out to dinner.
Well, Steve, happy birthday. I don't know if you can hear me.
But
happy birthday. Yes, and a great night to you. And just in case I haven't said it to you, Joy, I love you very much.
Me too, I love you. We've been having a good time together, you and me. That's one good thing that's come out of this.
Yes, we have.
I really believe that.
Yes, we have.
And I'll see you tomorrow morning.
Okay, bye, baby.
Behind the Table is produced by Nathan Getty and Summer Shea. Executive produced by Brian Tetta. Booking was overseen by Todd Polks. The executive producer of ABC Audio is Liz Alessi. Special thanks to Josh Cohan, Brenda Salinas-Baker, Trevor Hastings, David Toledo, Elizabeth Russo, Lori Hogan, Stacia Dushishku, Molly Kessler, and Ashley Havens.